Do you dread small talk and networking and meeting new people? Then this episode is for you. Are you overwhelmed by motherhood and barely keeping your head above water? Are you confused and frustrated by how all the other moms make it look so easy? You can't figure out how to manage the chaos in your mind, your home, or your family. I get you, mama. Parenting with ADHD is hard. Here is your permission slip to let go of the Pinterest-worthy visions of organization and structure fit for everyone else. Let's do life like our brains do life, creatively, lovingly, and with all our might. When we embrace who we are and how our brains work, we can figure out how to live our lives successfully, and in turn, lead our families well. At the end of the day, we just want to be good moms, but spoiler alert, you are already a great mom. ADHD does not mean you're doomed to be a hot mess, mama. You can rewrite your story from shame spiral to success story. And I'll be right here beside you to cheer you on. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. So I had a bit of weird, out of body experience the other day where I was at an event and did not realize that I was not anxious or concerned about meeting new people, saying hi. And I was like, what? Oh my gosh, what happened to Patricia? Did she get abducted by aliens? What is going on here? All right, so this all started when I went to a conference for mom entrepreneurs. And one of the great things they did at the beginning was remind us hey, most of the people here don't know each other. So everyone showed up wanting to meet each other. You came here because you wanted to meet other people, to network, to find business contacts, to find clients, to grow your network, blah, blah, blah. Everyone came here to meet more people. And everyone wants to meet you. That's why they're here. And they asked us to come up with some specific goals in our time there so that it wasn't just meet people. For example, do I want to find five people to be on the podcast? Or I want to find five podcast hosts that would like to have me on their podcast. Coming up with three specific goals of why you're there. And this really helped me because as somebody who gets very anxious about meeting new people and being in situations that I don't feel comfortable in, being a chronically shy and introverted person, these kind of things, I literally never even would have signed up a few years ago, but I'm working on things, working on myself, putting myself out there and going in and reminding myself, hey, everyone is here to meet me. I want to meet them. They want to be me. Made it a whole lot easier. Granted, I've also been working on this in therapy, but it made it easier to know, it's okay to walk up and say hi to random people. So I think I introduced myself to 400 people that I've never met before. And I was just rapid fire walking up to another group of people, saying hi, introducing myself, inserting myself in conversations, interrupting. Y'all, it was hard. This was a very major growth experience. And I did it. All weekend, I went around introducing myself to other people. I always sat with somebody different at every meal. I was constantly meeting new people. And the funny part is, I flew home Saturday night. My flight got delayed. By the time I got home, it was 2:30 in the morning on Sunday. I got 3 hours of sleep, woke up, went to church, got the kids off to Chinese school. And then I had this fundraiser event for my kids' school, which is normally quite anxiety producing for me because all the moms, they get all fancy, small talking with the cool kids. And it's a lot. And normally I get really in my head about them before I go. Well, things were so crazy that afternoon. I was trying to help my friend do something and I was working on my taxes at the same time, which never bodes well. And I also super tired. Well, I end up just rolling out of the house to this fundraiser wearing the same dress I was wearing earlier, which was a $20 Amazon dress. I didn't fix my hair. I didn't do my makeup. I'm not even sure I had jewelry on. I don't think I put my wedding ring on. I literally just was on bare bones, 3 hours of sleep. This is as good as my brain is functioning today. And I walked into this party of probably 75 ladies who are all dressed to their nines and, because it's a theme party, obviously. And I was I walked in and looked around. I was oh, wow, I am not ready for this party. But I was well, I'm already here. I'm not going home. So I made the best of it. And I was still in this networking mode. And I just started going around hey, I'm Patricia, blah, blah, blah. See someone else. Hey, I'm Patricia. Y'all, I've never done that in how long have my kids been in school and preschool? And I'm in math, probably 6 years of neighborhoody events. And plus the entire however many years I've been doing this stuff for work and all. Before as a teacher, I was in sales and I was just oh my goodness. I literally just walked in this party and was introducing myself to random people. And when I already knew that, like, I was not dressed up enough, I had no makeup on, I hadn't done my, like, knowing that, like, I didn't even have my, like, confidence boosters, on, like, attached to me. I was like, y'all are getting raw me. Whoa. Now, what's the difference here? Because I kid you not, it was like a month ago that I was telling my therapist it felt really hard to make new friends in, like, the neighborhood school area, given that, like, my kid's already in third grade. I never really got to know the moms in his class because my son started a virtual kindergarten during the pandemic year, and I was really sick, and I couldn't go out and do a lot of things. Also, everything was shut down, and even when things were starting to pick back up, I was still really sick and couldn't go out, couldn't be around all the germs. I was on immunosuppressants, so, like, I feel like this year's the first year that I can actually physically, like, I am capable of going out and doing the things, being at the events, doing the volunteer jobs, and now it feels really awkward because I feel like the new kid who doesn't really know a lot of people. And, like, all these people have all kind of, like, formed their circles already. But yet, like, I don't have the excuse of, like, being the new person. It's like, no, you just, Patricia, you just ignored everybody for 40 years while you were sick. And, like, they don't know that. Like, I feel like they probably just think I'm rude and don't participate in things. But either way, I can sit here and, like, think of all these reasons about why I shouldn't go, why this is so hard, I feel dumb, what am I going to say, what if I'm awkwardly standing on the side and I don't know what to do, or I talk to somebody and they clearly don't want to talk to me, and then how do I get out of it? Normally, my go-to is, like, I just ask, if I feel really awkward, I ask, like, how can I help and, like, find a job to do, because I feel like that's better than looking pitiful on the side, not talking to anybody, which can be, like, a good entry-level, like, step in. But then also I would just stay doing the job and then I wouldn't actually go around and meet people. And it's like, okay, that was like a good entry level stepping stone for me. But at this point, like, I've moved ahead far enough in my journey that I should be able to do things in a different way. Can I? That's the question. Do I have to? No, I really hate the word should. Every time I catch myself saying it, I'm like, ooh, Patricia, you said should. Okay. So bearing that should in mind, I'm like, I should be able to do this, right? And I put that pressure on myself that I should be able to go in and network and talk to all these people because I'm a grown woman who should be able to talk to people, other people that are scary and I don't know them. And as I'm having this whole conversation with my therapist, she says, dun, 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 what part of you is trying to control the narrative of what other people think of you? Oh, I was just like, oh, knife in the heart. Okay. You are right, therapist. I can't control what other people think of me. What other people think of me is a reflection of them. It's a reflection of their perspective, their lived experiences. And the same, like, when you listen to me here, like, how you take what I say is a reflection of your perspective and what you've lived in your life. And I can't control that. Like, even if I wanted to, I can't control that. And so what I'm working on is not filtering myself to be, like, a more palatable version to other people and, like, shifting myself to be what I think they want. Because even if I shift and be what they want, that still doesn't mean they're going to like me. And also, if they like me for the way that I have shifted, then they don't really like me for me. And it's like, well, now do I want to be friends with somebody who is being friends with me because they think that I'm this or that? Like, now I'm being unfair to them because I'm asking them to be friends with somebody who's not real, and I'm manipulating them and lying to them that I'm something that I'm not. So I went down this whole rabbit hole of, like, oh man, I can't control what other people think of me. No matter what, like, mask I put on and what pretenses I show up under, like, I can't control what other people think of me. And also, that's not my job. It is not my job to make other people like me. And to be honest, like, that's okay. I only want to be friends with people who like me.
Before we continue on, I want to say thank you to our sponsors whose support allows me to bring you this podcast for free.
I've got a podcast for you to check out. I'm so excited to partner with Understood Explains this month. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Ortube, and it's all about how to navigate IEPs, or individualized education plans. This latest season of Understood Explains covers things like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts through a bunch of misunderstandings about special education. I especially appreciated the episode that explained the difference between 504s and IEPs, because when you are the one advocating for your child, the more knowledge that you have on this confusing subject, the more confident you will feel in being able to advocate for your child. All of this season's episodes are available both in English and Español. So if you have a child who you think might need an IEP, or maybe your child's IEP is ready to be updated for the upcoming year,
Here in your podcast app, search for Understood Explains and add it to your downloaded episode so that you can take a listen later today. Again, that's Understood Explains right here in your podcast app.
Like, we were having this conversation in Successful Mama Meetups a couple of days ago where one of the moms was saying, like, she's moved to a new area. She wants to be able to make some friends. She found someone that's like, seems pretty good. She's like, I think I'm ready to have them over to my house. Like, I think we're at the stage where I can invite them over. But it's like, what if my house isn't clean enough? Like, you know, I haven't cleaned my baseboards and I feel like I need to have my house like to this presentable level before I bring people in. And she's like, people don't judge your baseboards, right? And I was like, well, my question is like, is that the kind of friend you want? Do you want somebody who is judging you for your baseboards? Like, if you invite them in and it turns out that they're going to judge you for your baseboards, is that the kind of friend you want? For me, no. If you're more worried about my baseboards than like whether or not we had a good conversation, then I don't want to be your friend. But like, don't get me wrong. It hurts when somebody then is like, well, I don't want to be friends with you. Now that I've seen what's under the hood, I don't want any of that. Like, it still hurts. So when we close ourselves off to the possibility of getting hurt, we've also closed ourselves off to the possibility of making friends. So I know that like old Patricia honestly would have been real judgy about baseboards. If you had asked me 15 years ago, I would have been like, well, that house is really dirty. I don't want to go hang out there. But that was a reflection of me and my perspective and my lived experience that I thought that that was expected of me. I thought that I should keep up with baseboards. And that was an important thing. And there was some kind of failure about me that I couldn't keep up with my baseboards. So it really had nothing to do with the fact that someone else had a messy house. It was me seeing that and being like, I should be able to keep up with that. I need to be able to do it all. With wisdom, I realized like that doesn't really matter to me. So, I mean, granted, I have a house cleaner, a lovely lady who cleans all the stuff for me so that I don't have to because I'm not good at it and it will never get done. So I pay somebody else to support me in that way. So yes, my baseboards are clean, but that's because I have somebody else doing it. Like, and are they all totally clean? No, she probably like dusts them like once every few months. But I don't want a friend who wants to be my friend because my baseboards are cleaned. So I've had to shift this perspective for myself, and I offer you the same option, is that when we're looking at, is this friend, like I want to invite them in, and then they get to see, like when someone enters your house, they get to see much more of who you are, is that, yeah, they might not want to be my friend anymore once they see what's here. But I can't move into the next level of friendship if I'm not being vulnerable and allowing them in to see who I really am, to be like, are we a good fit? And that vulnerability is what allows us to move to the next level of friendship. Now, granted, not everybody deserves that, but like, you know, you vetted the process here, you know, you checked them out and like, I think this might be a good person. They've so far like met the trust goals. So I'm willing to risk that hurt for the possibility that someone might be a really great friend. When we have ADHD, a lot of times we look at what could go wrong instead of what could go well. If we enter a party, we think of like, well, what if all these people don't like me? What if I can't find anyone to talk to? What if somebody snubs me? When we look at all the things that could go wrong instead of what might go well, like what if I met a really cool person that I want to hang out with again? What if I met my next mom bestie here? What if I found a partner to go on walks with in the morning? When we only look at the bad part and we're allowing our panic and our fear and our stress to filter our perspective, that's what we find. Instead, I have shifted my perspective to, I'm only looking for like one connection. Can I find one nice person here? So instead of what if nobody likes me, I'm going to what if the good stuff? What if I find someone who's really cool? So as soon as I hear my brain being like, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? Then it's only fair, brain, that you can also what if good things. What if I found a mom who likes to take their kid to the splash pad too, so that I can hang out and chit chat while our kids run around, what do you call them, the little fountains? Because when we have ADHD, we tend to be really great at what-ifing all the different possibilities of what could go wrong. So we can train our brains to look at like, what if all the good things went well? So when I go into a party of like these like 75, 100 moms, I'm not looking for the 90 people, 95 people, maybe 99 people that I don't click with. There's going to be people at this party that I'm not excited to talk to. No offense, neighbors, if you're listening. There's going to be people I'm not going to click with, I'm not really going to want to hang out with. Okay, what I'm looking for instead is, what's the one person that I really want to hang out with? Or the five people that I can find a 5-minute decent conversation with? Can I find these little things instead of looking at the unknown mass of like, what if somebody, unknown person here, is mean to me? What if I look for the one person that I can have a good conversation with? Or what if I can try to get the names of five moms that seem like halfway normal? Or maybe halfway not normal because, you know, we have ADHD. You know, like, it's kind of like if you go to the store and, you know, like we're coming up on bathing suit season here. Like, if we go in looking at like all the swimsuits that don't fit you and focus about how you're not, this is gonna be a terrible experience and I'm not gonna like any of them and I'm gonna look like a terrible mess and this is terrible. Or if we go in and look and be like, listen, I don't need all 700 swimsuits in this bathing suit store to fit me. I don't need every single one to look good. I only need one bathing suit. I need one swimsuit to wear to the pool, maybe two if you're a beach bunny, but I just need one. I need one bathing suit to fit me. I need one wedding dress or one dress for a wedding, like when I'm going to the store. The same thing. When I go to this party, I just need one good connection. So what if I focus on like, I just need one person to chat with, one nice person that seems halfway decent, one good conversation. And when we flip-flop from looking at all the things that could go wrong, instead of like, what if I found my next mom bestie that we're going to go on amazing weekends away together and raise our kids, and she's going to send her kids to my house, I'm going to send my kids to her house, and like, we're going to be giggling till we're 68 years old. What? We start what-ifing the good stuff and looking for just one great connection instead of the like nameless mass that doesn't like me. I don't care about that. I need one good friend. I need one good conversation. What if I found somebody cool? This is how I've shifted my perspective, and then honestly practicing it. So I'm going to share with you my 8 tips for meeting a new person, for starting a new friendship, like going into a place where you don't know anybody. And I'm going to probably do episode about like maintaining friendships because that's a whole other thing. But today we're starting the friendship. Here's my 8 tips.
What do you do when you're really struggling to calm down? When you're dysregulated and your brain is offline? When Medusa Mom is about to rear her ugly head and you don't want to yell at your kids again, but you also desperately need some time and space to yourself? Well, you're in luck, Mama, because I've got a free video resource waiting for you. I'm sharing my top 10 tips for what to do when you're losing your cool and you need a reset. Each of these things you can do in under a minute with no fancy prep, so that you can calm down enough to make a different choice than exploding like a volcano on everybody in the vicinity. Now, since it's a video, you can watch what I do for easier practice, and of course, there's audio plus captions to read it. I also have a little cheat sheet underneath of all the ideas, so you can grab that list, stick it in your phone somewhere, so that on the time where you're like totally freaking out, you can go to that list and quickly pick the idea that's going to help you calm down in that moment. Head over to patriciasung.com/calm, that's C-A-L-M, and download your free video on how you can keep your cool when you're overwhelmed. That's patriciasung.com/calm. Because you can learn how to take care of yourself so that you can take care of your family.
Number 1 is you want to look for an opening. Whenever I'm standing in a group of usually ladies, but in a group, I try to make it into a horseshoe, not a circle. I can't remember where I read that. You probably have heard of it. But I try to make sure that I'm standing in a horseshoe instead of a circle so that people feel like they can come in. There's an opening. But this opening is not just like a physical opening. If it looks like, you know, two people are like deep in thought and you don't feel like you can ease in, is there another group that looks like they have more open space for you to be like, hey, hi. Can you find an event that you have like connections built in, like an opening built in? So like a group that's like built for networking, where you know everybody's going there to meet other people, so that feels more comfortable. Or like baby story time at the library. You know that this is all new moms who are trying to get out of the house and happy to talk to somebody who like actually speaks words. So like that's an opening so that you can see like how you're gonna jump in. Next, number 2 is practice your intro. Finding this like comfortable way to connect. I said literally the same thing every time when I was at that conference. I was like, hey y'all, I don't know anyone here and y'all look friendly. Can I join you? I definitely accidentally joined a group of people that had people that I'd already said that opening to. Don't care. Moving along. I feel comfortable entering that way. Don't worry about it. And like, if it turns out that somebody's going to judge me that I said the same thing twice, not my people. So practice what you're going to say in order to enter so that you feel comfortable jumping in. Like, oh, excuse me, do you mind if I sit here? Whatever your thing's going to be, know what your intro sentence is going to be. Then number 3 is practice your exit. Part of the thing that really made me like break out in hives, it felt like, was like not knowing how to exit. So know how you're going to leave when you don't want to talk to that person anymore, or when you can see that they don't want to talk to you, it's better to exit yourself out so that you don't feel awkward. So saying something like, it's been great talking to you. I'm going to go grab another drink. or I'm going to grab another snack, or I got to go to the bathroom, or like, oh, I see that person, I need to ask them a question. Like, oh, I see, you know, Suzy Q, got to go ask her a question. I'll be around. Great talking to you. I always tell the moms in successful mama meetups that, like, if they're in a group and it's like just awkward, and or like somebody's talking about something that you're like, I don't have capacity for that today, you can just exit out and hop back in again and pretend that Zoom kicked you out. No one's going to know the difference. Zoom randomly kicks people out sometimes. It's totally fine. Go enter another group and hop in. Like, you can exit at any point that you don't want to talk to that person anymore. I'd rather like leave them hanging with like, wow, that was such a great conversation, than get to the point where they're like, do-do-do, what do we say now? Just know what you're going to do. Oh, I'm going to grab another snack. I'll talk to you soon. Bebop on out of there. Number four, their perspective is a reflection of them, not you. So if somebody is like clearly not wanting to talk to you, that's not a reflection of you. That's them. They don't want to talk right now. I don't know. Maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they just got in a fight with their partner before they left. Maybe they were really hoping that that girl over there was going to talk to them, and now they feel like they're not cool because they're talking to you and they really want to talk to the other girl. It doesn't matter. It's not a reflection on you. It's a reflection on them. So I don't have to take any weight or ownership of whatever they think. Not my problem. Has this taken me a long time to get to? Yes, I will not lie. But now I know, like, that's their business. And them not wanting to talk to me right now doesn't mean they don't want to talk to me forever. It could just be right now. Maybe they really have to pee and they're like, maybe they also feel awkward about ending the conversation. And they're like, I don't know how to leave, but I really have to go to the bathroom. It's fine. Their perspective is a reflection on them, not me. Number five is reminding yourself, what if I find, fill in whatever the good thing is here, not just looking for the bad side. Like, what if I find a cool mom to hang out with? So reminding myself of why I'm there. What if I find this cool thing? Tip number six is, don't focus on the people you didn't connect with. You're looking for one good conversation, one good connection. And if it turns out that you mingle through 14 people at this party and like you're not feeling with any of them, that's okay. If it wasn't here, great. Well, tomorrow we're going to go to the park and just see who's wandering around the park. Maybe we can say hi there. We don't need to focus on the people that you don't connect with. You only need one bathing suit. Don't worry about the bandeau tops that like you look terrible. Move along. Keep hunting for the halter top. Okay. Number seven, practice makes it easier. Note I didn't say perfect. Practice makes it easier. After I spent an entire weekend reintroducing myself a bazillion times, it was a whole lot easier to walk into that Mahjong party and greet a whole bunch of people that I have seen many times over my, you know, decade of living in this neighborhood, because I had just practiced a bazillion times. And yes, sometimes it was still awkward. There was one mom that I've met lots of times, but it's always been at like times where we weren't dressed up. And so then I met her all looking cute, and I didn't recognize her because we're both looking cute. Well, I mean, I don't look that cute, but she looked all dolled up. And like last time I saw her, she was wearing a baseball hat and ponytail. I did not remember who she was because she looked different, and I have ADHD. So as soon as she said who she was, I was like, oh, right, you. But of course, at that point, I made some awkward comment about like, last time I saw you, you were all like looking scuzzy with the baseball hat, and you look so cute today. I tried to pull it together. It was still awkward, but you know what? Hopefully she doesn't hate me because our kids are in the same class. But you know what? It gets easier. Sometimes we're going to put our foot in our mouth. I tried to smooth it over. Usually I just make some kind of awkward joke and keep on trucking because you know what? Here it is. But I'm really working hard on not sitting up at 4 a.m. being like, dang it, I totally insulted so-and-so's mom. You know what? Hopefully she didn't take it personally. I tried to smooth it over, and I'll probably apologize next time I see her. But here we are. Okay. Number seven was practice makes it easier. And number eight is the follow-up. I try to know at that point, like, what do I need to do to follow up? Like, if I find this cool person, right then I'm going to be like, hey, can I get your number? Maybe we could hang out next week. Or if you forget, you can look them up in the school directory or whatever. Like, know how you're going to follow up. It's like that, you know, if you want to ask them out on a date, on a mom date, how do you want to do that? And making that happen at that same time. Like, I'm not saying you have to be like, hello, friend, will you be my friend? Let's hang out tomorrow. You don't have to be awkward about it. But like, when you leave that party, put a note in your calendar to be like, hey, text so-and-so tomorrow or 2 days from now. Or like, I love scheduling text messages. So like, when I leave the party, if I got their number, I will schedule the text message for like the next day or the day after and be like, hey, it was so great to meet you on Saturday. Even just like that. It was so great meeting you last Saturday. Cool. But I already started the follow-up there. Like, I already made myself like a task list to do it. Because otherwise, I'm totally going to forget that I made that cool friend. I can tell you plenty of times where I've like met some cool mom and then totally forgot they existed because I didn't see them. So immediately I'm going to make myself a note. I'm going to schedule a text. I'm going to write them an email. and see like what step two would be, because otherwise I forget. So I'm going to practice that right here and say my follow-up to you is, if you want to hang out with some cool moms who get you, come hang out with us. If you're more of an in-person kind of person, reminder that the retreat tickets are going to be on sale later this month. And if you're more of a, I don't want to wait that long, let's hang out now, you can join us in successful mama meetups. We meet twice a week to get stuff done and to hang out. I always say, come for the support, stay for the community. When you come on Wednesdays, Thursday if you're on the other side of the world, then you'll come get stuff done for 30 minutes. And then the second half, we do something different every time. Sometimes we hang out in small groups. Sometimes I do free ADHD coaching. Sometimes we have an exclusive discussion about something that is just for our group. Sometimes we divide up by the ages of our kids or where we're located. Like, it is different every time because I want you to have fun, enjoy meeting other moms, and feel seen. Like, I want you to know that you're not the only one struggling. So come hang out with us, patriciasung.com/meetups, and I hopefully will see you soon. Talk to you later, successful mama. For more resources, classes, and community, head over to my website, motherhoodinadhd.com.